So you say that I'm your servant. Well, that's fine. That's fine. I just hope you know that I'm observant. I've gotten under your skin, you're mine. So you kill all the witnesses, 'cause he wants to remember.
This Saturday, July 15th at 2 p.m., the Woodstock Film Festival will present a special screening of Story of a Girl. At Upstate Films in Woodstock, the film's director, Kira Sedgwick, and editor, Sabine Hoffman, will host an in-person Q&A session following the screening. The screening is happening before the film's official television premiere on Lifetime on July 23rd. Story of a Girl tells the story of a young girl's loss of innocence and the role of social media in adolescent lives. It's based on Sarah Zarr's award-winning novel. The film is Kira Sedgwick's directorial debut. An actress who has starred in The Closer and many films such as The Woodsman and Personal Philosophy, it is a great pleasure to welcome Kira Sedgwick to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So glad to be here.
I think the last time you were with us is when you were at Williamstown, and it's very nice to have you here today. So give us a sense of how you came to make your directorial debut of wanting to tell this particular story.
Okay. Well, Story of a Girl is a novel that it's actually a young adult novel that I bought in 2007. So I've been trying to make this movie for a very long time with eyes to make it an independent film. And we just never were able to get it off the ground. I think it was at the time of like Twilight, and if it was a movie about, you know, a family and a teenage girl, they really wanted, you know, cancer, or they wanted vampires, or, you know, it was a tough road. So we finally were able to do it last summer, and it's a story of a girl who makes a sex tape with her boyfriend, and it goes viral. And that's like a small part of the film. That's sort of the inciting incident. But you see her 3 years later. That happens to her at 13, and then at 16, we see her at 16, and we see the consequences of her actions and who she's become in the world, and how her family is fractured, and her father can't look at her in the eyes, and her, you know, she's slut shamed in her community. And it's really about a family, but it's also about this girl who kind of has to rewrite her own story. It's very much a heroine journey of, you know, someone who takes control of their narrative at a very young age, and how we do that, and how we do that through forgiveness of ourselves and others, and, you know, telling the truth and speaking the truth out loud, and shaming the devil. And not really, there's no God here, but or devil. But it was a beautiful story on the page, and I think it's a beautiful film.
You know, one of the things that struck me about it is, as you mentioned, you originally optioned this in 2007, and the book came out 7 years ago. So here we are 7 years later. Obviously it had a lot to say then, but 7 years later, we are still coming to grips, learning a little bit more, but still coming to grips with social media, with that part of our lives, and how vulnerable kids are.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the horrible thing, I mean, the terrifying thing about social media is that, you know, really the genie is so out of the bottle at this point. I mean, we had no regulations. We have no understanding of, like, what humans can actually, you know, cope with and handle, and the limited, and, you know, we're having to deal with a whole new set of tools, you know, emotional tools about how to, you know, addiction to internet, and especially for these young kids who are, like, you know, these teens, young teens and young adults, and you know, even I struggle with it for sure, but I think that when you're trying to form an identity, you know, in high school, I mean, I know for me, I tried on lots of different, you know, outfits for my identity and in social media and for these kids, like they're like picking a social identity, then they're putting it out in the world. And then, you know, I mean, it's a very vulnerable place to be. It's very public, very open. It's very scary. So, you know, while I don't think that that's the entire, what this movie is really, you know, it's about so many other things. Certainly the social media is a terrifying reality right now, and one that we really have no control over at this point. And I don't know, we're just having to learn a whole new set of human tools to deal with it that I don't think we ever expected to have to deal with.
You're absolutely right, though. If you take away the component of social media, the film goes very much to the heart of how difficult it is to be a woman, how difficult it is to be a young girl.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the wonderful thing about the film is that we really get all points of view. I think it's hard to be a teenage boy. I think it's hard to be, you know, the father. I mean, I think, you know, we really, it's very much a socioeconomic story as well about the middle class and the demise of the middle class. And, you know, the father, you know, used to have a white collar job, and now he's working in an auto shop underneath a car, and he's lost his daughter, you know, because her sexuality was just too terrifying for him. So it's very much about many, many things. And at the heart of it, it really is this, you know, dysfunctional family story, which is, you know, right up my alley. I've just always loved books and film and television shows that are like dealing with families and how complex our families are. All of us come from complicated families, even if they're functional. You know, it's like everyone is people and personalities and just a lot of, you know, emotional, everyone, you know, it's a lot. And I think it's hard to be parents. I think it's hard to see your kid grow up. I think it's hard to see them become a sexual being, especially for a girl. I think, you know, female sexuality is very much a family issue, whereas when the boy, you know, the son in the film, he's living with his baby mama downstairs, and he has, you know, a child at you know, a very, very young age, and you get the impression that they had the kid too early. And so it's got a lot of components to it.
What do you enjoy after having acted so many years? What do you enjoy about directing?
About directing?
Yes. What did you enjoy about
Everything.
The process? Really?
I have to tell you that, I mean, I truly feel like I was meant to be a director all along. The acting was just a diversion. I mean, to some extent, like, it's just, I've never been happier or more joyous or more like, you know, just having it was creatively the most fulfilling thing I've ever done. And it uses every single part of you. I mean, it uses your people skills, it uses your storytelling skills, it uses your leadership skills, it uses your visual, your every single part of your brain and your heart. And I just absolutely loved it. I, you know, I've been a storyteller my whole life, being an actor, but it's different. I have one piece of the story to tell. And as a director, I get to tell the whole story, and I get to direct your eye as an audience, you know, and I get to tell the truth, you know, about a situation, which is really why I became an actor in the first place. I'm very interested in the truth and, you know, reflecting the truth, even though I'm pretending, right? It's sort of an odd thing, but it really is. I want people to feel the truth of their own experience. I want them to recognize themselves in all the films I do, and even as an actor, you know. So it was really beyond my wildest dreams. I had no idea I would love it as much as I do.
And you get to direct your daughter and your husband, so that's got to be cool too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I was lucky because I just thought Michael would be such a wonderful role for Kevin. He's never played, I know he's played a homosexual character before, but this guy is just someone really special and really, you know, funny and sweet and warm, but also like really tortured and really is like the hero of the movie in many ways. And her savior in a lot of ways, this young teen savior who is really struggling with her dad. He's like a great, you know, male role model. And I just it's not a character that we've really seen him play. I've seen him play. And Sosie, you know, I was lucky to get her in between, you know, 13 Reasons Why and the new Alan Ball HBO show that she's doing, you know. I mean, she's a brilliant young actress, and originally, you know, she had, I'd never really thought of her for Deanna for the lead role, but she had done some readings for me as we were trying to get this thing made over the 10 years. But then, when we've actually been able to get it made, she was in her 20s, and I thought she'd be perfect for Stacey, and it's absolutely a stunning role for her. And I really, you know, I enjoyed having my family involved. My son did the music, which was a total surprise. I certainly wasn't expecting that to happen, but he just blew me away with his work. You know, of course, at this point now, all I want to do is work with my family. I mean, it's so... it's so wonderful. You know, you have such a deep trust, and I just felt really lucky and blessed to have such great actors and talented people around me.
Do you get to see even another dimension to the acting abilities of your husband, of course, Kevin Bacon, and your daughter Sosie Bacon, who, as you said, is in, I mean, the 13 Reasons Why is one of the most popular shows on television, Netflix, and has been had such a powerful impact. And really one of the truly best things I've seen in a very long time, that for you as a director to see them in a new way as actors must have been quite gratifying.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. I mean, I get a front row seat as a director. I get to, you know, watch it in real time. And then I get to, you know, tweak it and shape it if I need to. I hardly needed to. I just wanted to try different things. But yeah, I mean, it's incredible. It's wonderful to see people do what they do best.
When you look at the directors that you've worked with, who has been a role model in that regard of people, and you say, okay, that even gave you the sense that you could do this and wanted to do this, to direct through your career?
Well, I can tell you that, you know, that when I told directors that I've worked with that I was going to do, that I was going to direct, I can't tell you the generosity and the support I got. I mean, it was pretty extraordinary. I was on the set of Edge of 17, which is the film that I did with Kelly Fremond Craig, who directed her first feature, and I was in it last year. James Brooks, who was absolutely one of my idols as a director, yeah, executive produced that film. And when he found out that I was going to direct a movie, I mean, he came into the editing room to help me. I mean, he, you know, to give me notes. They were all so supportive. You know, I think that I took something from every single director I've ever worked with. Oliver Stone, James Ivory, Cameron Crowe, Kevin Bacon, you know, directors that, you know, even if I took away something that I know I I would never do, you know, what not to do, that's right. A great lesson too.
Well,
but I absolutely took something from everybody.
It's a hell of a list. I mean, if you look at that list, that's an amazing list of people. We mentioned that this Saturday, July 15th at 2:00, you'll be in Woodstock. You'll be at Upstate Films, and you'll be with the editor of the film as well, and you'll be doing a Q&A. Talk a little bit about the editing of the film and some of the things that you'd like to discuss during the Q&A.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, Sabine Hoffman is a genius. She directed, she edited a film that I did with Rebecca Miller called Personal Velocity. And she did an incredible job. It was a triptych. It was about three different women, and it was taken from Rebecca's short stories. And she's just a genius. And she's also gone on to do all of Rebecca Miller's films, including lots of other things. She just did Nixon, Elvis and Nixon. And she's done a lot of, I mean, she's, you know, around forever. I was so I mean, to say that she's a huge part of why the movie works so well, of course. I mean, your editor is really, I mean, it's so true what they say, which is that, you know, the movie is one thing on the page. It's one thing when you're shooting it, and it's a totally different thing when you're editing. It's three different movies. And she just did such an extraordinary job. We had a real mind meld. I mean, she was cutting things when I was shooting, and she would send me cut footage, cut scenes, and it was exactly the way I would have cut it. You know, it was exactly the way I saw it in my head. It wasn't the way I would have cut it, but it was the way because I didn't know from cutting. But it was exactly what I had in my head. And there were some scenes that she cut the first time that never changed. And it wasn't because we didn't have the time. It was because she's so extraordinary.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, you know, I can't imagine a better editor for me. She's strong but also like loving, you know, and sticks to her ideas, but is also willing to obviously try anything. I think what we'll talk about in the Q&A is anything that they ask us. I'm really an open book, you know. I feel like, usually Q&As, people run the gamut between, you know, asking me very much about my career and then, you know, and the movie, and then asking questions like, what's the secret to a happy marriage, you know, in Hollywood, which is always, you know, my pet peeve. So I would like to encourage people to come up with a different question.
Yeah. But, how do you answer that? You know, I am. All right, go ahead.
You know, you don't answer it is what you do. What you say is, the secret to a happy marriage is to not take marriage advice from celebrities.
Yeah, there you go.
About the secret of a happy marriage. That is the secret to a happy marriage. Seriously. And if I hear Hollywood one more time, I'm going to puke. I mean, we're not a Hollywood couple. We're a couple. I mean, it's crazy.
Right.
Anyway, so yeah, I mean, you know, I love Q&As. They're my favorite. They're my absolute favorite. I love talking to people, especially people who've just seen your movie. I mean, what could be better than that?
That's true. They're talking about your work and what you've created, and that is very exciting. I do want to ask you as a last question before we go, and that is that the film, as I mentioned, is going to be going on Lifetime and will have its premiere July 23rd. In your perfect world, do you see teens, kids watching this with their parents, without their parents? You see parents watching it?
Oh my God.
How do you see them?
I have such a specific answer to that question, and
okay.
That is that I want everyone to watch it, because
right.
There's no question that everyone can relate. I mean, there's something here for everybody, but I really do think families watching this together would be extraordinary. It's going to bring up conversation. Trust me, it's edgy, but not too edgy. You know, it's not going to freak anybody out. I mean, I think that kids as young as 12 can absolutely watch this. I mean, God, I grew up in Manhattan. I could have watched it when I was 9. But I think that, you know, it is very much family fare. That is my dream. My dream in my perfect world, I love that you even said that, is that families watch this and talk about what it brings up for them, because everyone will have something to say. And this is the kind of stuff that social media can rob us of, is like these kind of family discussions. What could be better than watching something together as a family and literally talking about what you just saw? You can talk about the characters. You don't even need to talk about yourself, which is the genius thing about art, you know?
It's this Saturday, July 15th at 2 o'clock. The Woodstock Film Festival will present a special screening of Story of a Girl at Upstate Films in Woodstock. The film's director, Kira Sedgwick, and editor, Sabine Hoffman, will host an in-person Q&A session following the screening. The screening is happening before the film's official television premiere on Lifetime on July 23rd. You can find out more information about the Saturday event by going to woodstockfilmfestival.org for more information. woodstockfilmfestival.org. Again, the film is Story of a Girl. Kira Sedgwick, what a great pleasure to have you back on the program. Best of luck to you, and thank you so much for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you so much.
A delight.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.